is 10:15, even though our clock says 11:15, and we will move on to item 11:29.
Adopt the recommendations contained within the Tryon Stevens Headwaters Neighborhood Street Plan as the guiding strategy for Portland Bureau of Transportation and Bureau of Environmental Services efforts to complete the transportation networks and stormwater system within the plan area.
Commissioner Herwick, would you like to lead off?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Before Commissioner Fish and I introduce this item, we should recognize Denver Igarta from PBOT and Naomi Tsurumi from BES for their hard work. Thank you so much for all the outreach you've done to make this project a success. Colleagues, this is a joint resolution between PBOT and BES, the two most powerful bureaus in the city. And I think I can say that both Commissioner Fish and I are very proud of the work our bureaus have done together. This plan lays the foundation for cross-bureau collaboration and creative thinking about both street and stormwater infrastructure. These infrastructure improvements are normally expensive. However, terrain and soil conditions in Southwest Portland often make an expensive project that much more expensive. This plan moves beyond a one-size-fits-all approach to put improvements on local streets within reach for property owners and for the city. It allows greater flexibility to make improvements more affordable and more compatible with the natural setting. This approach to addressing both street and stormwater deficiencies can be applied to areas with similar challenges outside this study area. The Tryon-Stevens plan complements unfunded TSP projects on busy streets like Capitol Highway and Barber Boulevard, which will remain the focus of future safety improvements. It extends safe street connections into neighborhoods, offering residents the option to walk or bicycle to nearby destinations, leaving space on our roads and commercial areas for others who need to drive. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you very much. And Mayor and colleagues, one of the most rewarding things that's happened to me since Commissioner Novick joined the council and Leah Treat took over PBOC is the deepening of the relationship between these two bureaus. And it turns out we do a lot of work together, and that means there's a lot of opportunities for coordination and communication. And I'm pleased to report that the relationship is very strong and that there is a lot of work being done behind the scenes to better align our respective missions and values and to coordinate projects, particularly with an eye to minimizing impacts on the communities we serve. I'm particularly proud of the work of Denver and Naomi. We'll hear from them in a moment, but now I will read the script that I was handed. Although the difference between my script and Steve's is the font is 10 times bigger. And I'll try to be as spontaneous as I can with this script. In areas like Southwest, development needs to be sensitive to the terrain. Natural hydrology, water quality, native habitat, and biological communities. The plan advances new techniques to control, convey, and reduce pollutants in the stormwater, and a creative approach to managing stormwater runoff from multiple blocks. The plan engaged Southwest neighbors representing the community within the plan area, including those actively involved with the city, as well as groups not always represented. This is the first substantial collaboration between BES and PBOT at the neighborhood scale. Working together in that way allowed us to match tools that work for streets and stormwater and to see and understand better where our bureaus have mutual interests. And now I'll turn it over to Denver.
Carla. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Denver Igarta. I'm a senior transportation planner with the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and I served as the project manager for this plan.
Hi, my name is Naomi Tsurumi. I'm with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I am a staff lead on this plan for environmental services. And we are very excited to present to you the recommendations of this unique joint planning effort between our bureaus to address persistent challenges to close gaps in both the street and stormwater systems in Southwest Portland. This work was supported by a grant from the Oregon Department of Transportation's Transportation and Growth Management Program. So Tryon-Stevens is the third neighborhood street plan developed by PBOT to address street connectivity in areas with significant deficiencies in basic infrastructure, such as sidewalks and paved streets. The map shows streets with with existing sidewalks citywide. These plans will serve as models for surrounding neighborhoods with similar conditions. The Cully Plan was adopted in 2012. The Division Midway Plan in East Portland was adopted by Council just last month. Following the Cully Plan effort, the Street by Street initiative introduced more flexible curbless street options for low-traffic residential streets. At the same time, Environmental Services has been working to implement plans for the Tryon Creek and the Stevens Creek watersheds. Soil conditions and topography in Southwest make it difficult to talk about street improvements without talking about stormwater at the same time. So Transportation and Environmental Services decided to jointly undertake this plan for the Tryon-Stevens area to bring together creative solutions and create a tailored strategy for dealing with access and stormwater in the context of Southwest. So we started by developing a public involvement plan, looking to the examples of Cully and Division Midway as models. The public involvement plan identified community stakeholders and outreach activities based on demographic data for the study area. We translated key materials based on Portland Public Schools data into Spanish and Somali. We formed a diverse stakeholder working group that included representatives from neighborhood associations and business associations, and then also from groups such as the African Youth Community Organization, Kesser Israel Congregation, and resident of Stevens Creek Crossing, which is one of the home forward affordable housing communities in the plan area. The project was kicked off with a booth and a walking tour at Southwest Sunday Parkways. It was in September of 2014. And Stevens Creek Crossing served as a venue for our two public open house events. The first open house event had over 70 community members attending. The second had more than 30, and we conducted surveys at and after both open house events, both on paper and online. We also held a special workshop with youth who live at the Stevens Creek Crossing apartment complex, where kids drew maps of places in their neighborhood and the routes that they used to walk there. We did presentations to other community groups, such as the Multnomah Village Business Association and the Portland Commission on Disability, and both of those groups were represented on our community working group as well. And we maintained a project website. And we also gathered a lot of information from city staff across both of our bureaus and Planning and Sustainability and Parks through several meetings and workshops. So the Southwest natural setting is what attracts many people to live in this part of the city, but the hilly topography, poorly draining soils, sensitive natural resources, and streams limit street connectivity and constrain opportunities within the right-of-way to make improvements to enhance access or manage stormwater. Stevens and Tryon Creeks are two of the few remaining open streams in the city that flow to the Willamette River. In the early days, major transportation corridors in Southwest often followed the landscape. There were two commuter rail corridors along key flat routes that are current-day Barber, Bertha, and Multnomah Boulevards. Routes like Boone's Ferry and Taylor's Ferry led to ferry crossings at the river. Roads were built to get dairy products from the farms to local markets, such as Hoffman Road, which is the current-day Vermont Street. And neighbors used a system of trails to walk routes not connected by paved streets. As the area was platted for development, a grid pattern was often applied without regard to natural features such as streams and sloping terrains. The two images on the left are examples. The top left image is from the Lair Hill area, and then the bottom left is from our plan area. And these illustrate the issue with applying a connectivity standard in the Southwest context that makes more sense in a flat, less constrained neighborhood. In the bottom left and the right-hand photos, the yellow star shows the current location of the Burlingame Fred Meyers, and it's situated over Stevens Creek. So you can see in the example that in 1932 and 1940, there was a forested area, and Stevens Creek runs through there. And then in the bottom right, you can see that Stevens Creek is piped under Fred Meyer and I-5. So you can see from this example that past development often removes sensitive habitat, vegetation, and puts streams in pipes. So when, on a watershed scale, development leads to increases in impervious surface, which increases surface runoff and leads to problems such as water pollution, flooding, erosion, and degraded stream health and wildlife habitat.
So our plan seeks to address street and stormwater connectivity by fostering both healthy walksheds and healthy watersheds. And by walksheds, these are places that offer residents safe options to walk, bicycle, the local shops and destinations that are within a short walkable distance. This focus provides the opportunity to translate the concepts of complete neighborhoods that are identified in the Portland Plan and the Comprehensive Plan into a Southwest context. Healthy watersheds means when additional impervious surface is added as the result of development, that it doesn't result in negative impacts to hydrology, water quality, habitat, and biological communities. So we're trying to achieve the objectives and the values of both bureaus. We initiated our outreach process by asking neighbors where they go in the neighborhood and how they get there, specifically how they walk and bicycle to local destinations. Often the most popular routes for neighbors used a combination of both busier and lower traffic, quiet streets. The busier streets are important because they're often the flatter routes, the most direct routes, the routes where destinations are. However, neighborhood streets serve as important links for neighbors to reach their homes, bus stops, parks, schools, and other local destinations. When destinations can be reached safely by foot or bike, residents are given an option to choose not to drive if they like, and this reduces the pressure on the busy streets and as well as parking in our main streets and commercial areas. So based on our public outreach, we identified concentrations of destinations, and these are shown in the bottom left map as yellow circles. So these are areas where we have a number of destinations where we have the possibility to shift more trips from neighbors to walking and biking. We worked with our community working group to identify the flat routes, the most direct routes, and also the lowest traffic routes to connect and link these centers. On the top right, you can see there were two corridors that we identified that were missing public right-of-way. And so the plan recommends adding future connections in these two locations to the Southwest Master Street Plan, which was originally adopted in 2001, and that's shown on the bottom right map. The plan also identifies kind of the key routes that serve people walking and biking in the neighborhood. These are on the left map shown in purple and on the right map shown in brown. The map on the left shows Southwest Trails, safe routes to schools, city walkways and city bikeways, basically the planned pedestrian networks in our city. Our plan recommends adding a few connections to fill in the gaps that were identified through our outreach. The map on the right also shows where we have gaps in our stormwater system, and these are shown as red lines. Those are essentially streets that don't have a stormwater facility. The map on the right also shows the darker areas, which are areas where we have concentrations of complaints about stormwater in the study area. So where our gaps in our networks overlap, those are shown in yellow on the map on the right. And those are locations where we have potential for our bureaus to collaborate when we're doing infrastructure projects. These two photos are common types of streets that are illustrating the challenges that we face when we're introducing infrastructure in this part of the city. most of the streets in the city, in this study area actually are paved. So we had almost 88% of our streets are paved. However, nearly two-thirds of them lack a sidewalk. We asked in our surveys at public events as well as online, what is it that people would like to see improved on streets that are already paved? And where improvements needed, the top two responses were adding a sidewalk or dealing with the drainage for stormwater. This was followed by responses such as street trees and traffic calming and bicycle improvements. And all of those preceded actually adding sidewalks on both sides of the street. And as you can see, you know, from the sloping topography and the drainage, there's a lot of challenges in building to our traditional standard. We also asked folks, what should we be preserving when we're making improvements? The top three responses that we received were to preserve the low traffic speeds, as well as the natural landscape and mature trees, and the unique character of the street. So the plan includes a number of recommendations to form a tailored strategy for dealing with addressing our system gaps in the study area. But the two primary products of our partnership were a street typology and a process for identifying suitable street and stormwater concepts that manifested as a flow chart. The street typology allows us to define characteristics of different streets, and we use six factors to do that: traffic volumes, adjacent land use, whether it's connecting destinations, whether it's on our pedestrian or bicycle networks, and whether there are natural features, high-value natural resources, or steep slopes. So based on those factors, we were able to identify different categories of streets, which help us to know where we have more flexibility. Busier streets in commercial areas and near important destinations have less flexibility and should be built to a higher standard. However, neighborhood streets and quiet areas provide a bit more flexibility. And also in natural areas, we should be flexible to preserve the valuable resources that are there. So with our typology, we also developed a flow chart. And the flow chart was a way for us to have a series of additional questions to determine what suitable concepts there are for improvements to street and stormwater. So based on the typology, the flow chart asks a series of questions about the street conditions and suggests suitable street improvement options that relate to the context of that typology. And then there's a series of stormwater questions, which does the same, results in suitable stormwater concepts. The two illustrations on the bottom are examples of the combinations of the street and stormwater improvements. And so we've had street by street in place for a couple of years, but this is the first time we've actually combined those with kind of stormwater facilities for curbless streets. And so the one on the left is a shared street. A separated street, which has a pavement and a sidewalk on one side, and it's combined with a surface conveyance swale for the stormwater conveyance. So these are simply concepts to illustrate. Specific designs would be the result of project-level development with engineering and survey and additional outreach to the community. The flexibility that we've developed within this plan, it outlines a way for us to allow improvements to be made within the right-of-way, both as a result of private development, local improvement districts, and public investment, to more closely match the context of the street context, as well as hopefully to see improvements occur sooner due to lower costs. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Other questions for our staff?
Very nicely done. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Steve, you going to tee up the next panel?
Yes.
Vice Chair, I do have a question, and that is, how did you decide on the study area boundaries?
So we used we started with the watersheds, actually, and we used Tryon and Stevens headwaters areas to identify kind of where the boundary is. Then we looked at an area that was confined by major streets, and in this case it was Capitol Highway on the west and Taylor's Ferry on the east, and by focusing on a smaller geographic area, it allows us to collect a lot of data on that smaller area. And so we collect a lot of traffic counts that were done on local streets. So that's the general approach that we took. And it allows us to kind of see some areas that have better connectivity, more infrastructure improvements, and then some areas that were severely deficient.
So is there any thought of continuing a similar study to the south part of the Tran Creek watershed?
Yeah, this plan was developed from the start with the intent that the tools and approaches could be applied to other areas of similar contexts, specifically surrounding neighborhoods in southwest Portland. And the tools themselves today actually can be applied. We focused on this small area as a pilot, but I think the tools themselves can be translated to other areas outside the study area.
I think it's an absolutely terrific study. I feel a little like the folks in Centennial and Pleasant Valley when we talk about Lentz and Gateway as being East Portland, the neighborhood to the south, which actually has Markham Elementary School, which is not in the study area. It's the only Title I school on the west side. It would have been really nice to have had the study, maybe even just taking in the Falling Creek tributary, not necessarily Arnold Creek and the ones the others to the south, would have allowed more discussions of the equity of how the children at the mosques access the cool stuff that's further to the north.
Good point. Other questions, comments? Thank you both. I think you have a panel ready, Commissioner Fenton.
Yes, we do. We have Liz Safran, Lewis and Clark Professor, Multnomah Neighborhood Association Rep, Community Working Group Member, who's going to talk about the importance of solutions that are sensitive to the natural setting. Sue Stahl, Markham Resident, PCOD Rep, will talk about access issues for those with disabilities. Trudy Raz Krengel, neighbor and descendant of the Raz family, will talk about the importance of solutions to respect the historic and existing natural neighborhood setting. And Marianne Fitzgerald of Sweeney will talk about neighborhood priorities.
Liz, before you start, I just have to tell you that I got an email the other day from friends of mine on the East Coast, and they had come to Portland with their son who was looking for a college. They were shopping for colleges. And they fell in love with Portland, and they fell in love with Lewis and Clark because of the environmental programs of the college, and he's applied for early decision there. So
great.
I'm thrilled for them.
That's always good to hear. Thank you. So I'll just introduce myself again. I'm Liz Safran. I represented the Multnomah Neighborhood Association on the community working group for the Tryon-Stevens Plan. And I am an associate professor of geological science at Lewis and Clark College in the Environmental Studies program. I wanted to share a few thoughts about the process that gave birth to this plan. First, I was struck throughout by how inclusive a process it was and how responsive the team was to community input. From October 2014 to June 2015, there were four meetings of the community working group and three opportunities for public input. There was a roll and stroll event in the study area, and there were two open houses at the Stevens Creek Community Center. And all events were sort of a good mix of short presentations about the group's progress since the last gathering and hands-on exercises to try out the concepts that the team leaders were developing, as well as opportunities for feedback from the public in the form of survey responses, all of which were always summarized at the beginning of the next meeting. Second, the collaboration between PBOT and BES at the planning and design stages, and not just at the implementation stage, serves as, I think, a great model for what better planning could look like in this city, which is known for planning. The street typology and design option flowchart that they developed provides a structured approach to joint planning that can, and I hope will, be adopted not just in the Tryon Creek, Tryon-Stevens Creek headwaters, but throughout other similar parts of the city once it's been field tested. The environmental benefits of this plan and of a joint planning process across agencies at the design stage are really significant. Most notably, it should permit smaller paved footprints, which lead to less stormwater runoff and greater preservation of trees. This is extremely important in Southwest Portland in particular, where hilly topography and soils with low infiltration rates make stormwater management a real challenge. The more that we can prevent runoff and keep infiltration capacity high by preserving trees, the better able the city will be to meet stormwater management goals that help preserve environmental amenities and reduce impacts on the few daylighted creeks that remain. I should note that tree preservation is also important for meeting carbon emissions targets. Many of the city's emissions reductions to date have come from energy conservation efforts, and the ongoing loss of mature trees could threaten these gains by increasing the urban heat island effect, that is to say, locally increasing temperatures associated with loss of shading and development of additional surfaces. So for many reasons, planning efforts like this one, that reduce paved surfaces and preserve mature trees are really important. In fact, it would, my personal sort of response to this experience of participating on this group is that it would be great if the kind of interbureau coordination that was demonstrated in this project could be sort of pushed upstream and extended to the development stage. Of course, bureaus do interact during a development through permitting processes and so on, but this project shows a really kind of unique development of differentiated guidelines that are responsive to local conditions that I think could be inspiring for developing guidelines for location-appropriate development. And the last thing I want to mention is that although this plan deals specifically with sort of smaller streets, lower traffic streets, I saw in the course of the process a lot of concern about those busy streets and interest in seeing those become more bike and pedestrian friendly. And I think this plan is great because it complements the ongoing projects that are sort of have their own budgetary attention and priority, but provides an opportunity to sort of wed those with neighborhood scale projects in a thoughtful and seamless way. So I appreciated participating in this process, and I want to thank both Naomi and Denver for orchestrating such a fine project.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sue Stahl. I'm the vice chair of the Portland Commission on Disability and chair of one of its subcommittees focusing on accessibility in the built environment. During my tenure, I have worked with the city on a number of projects that involve the disability community, such as street design, disabled parking, the ADA transition plan, and now, most recently, the Tyron Stevens plan. I'm here to talk with you today about this plan and share with you why I'm supporting this plan and why you should too. As a resident of Southwest Portland neighborhoods, I am burdened every day with the lack of paved streets, sidewalks, and even curbs in the area. I live in what is called a 20-minute neighborhood. This means shopping, supermarkets, and other resources are within a 20-minute walk of my house. However, due to the poor condition of the road, I cannot even get on my driveway. Not being able to walk down the street severely restricts my access to these neighborhood centers. My 20-minute neighborhood can just as well be a 20-mile neighborhood simply because I cannot navigate the road. Southwest Portland is plagued by roads similar to mine, and they affect everyone, not just me. My neighbor, who uses a walker too, has stumbled on a few occasions walking across the street to get her mail when she first moved in. Sadly, I hardly see her outside anymore and believe she has become a shut-in. I have also seen children walking to and from school in a reasonably busy street or walk in ditches because there are no sidewalks or walk paths. Some of the streets are so narrow due to overgrowth that cars must turn into nearby driveways to let other cars pass through. We even had an issue where cars parked on the side of the road impeded a fire truck from getting to a house. Another issue in my neighborhood deals with drainage. Simply put, there is none. This means when it rains, the water flows where it wants to, downhill, collecting in potholes and unimproved streets, creating lakes in people's yards, and seeping into basements, causing foundation damage. After the downpour this past weekend, I could hear the noise of many wet-dry vacuums. I was one of the lucky ones. I live on a hill. Having to wade through or avoid puddles puts pedestrians at risk. It is hard to describe all the mud, oil, leaves, and who knows what else that collects in these puddles. And you don't know how deep it is until you step in it. And walking into the street to avoid these puddles is just an accident waiting to happen. The Tyron Stevenson Plan will address both the accessibility issues and water runoff by allowing more options in the street-by-street initiative. Southwest Portland is unique, and the topography is very challenging. Roads cannot be paved, sidewalks and walk paths cannot be installed without affecting water runoff. Drainage and pedestrian improvements go hand in hand. Seeing the collaboration of PBOT and BDS tackle these issues has been exciting. Both bureaus have identified and studied the key problems, listened to public feedback, and developed a comprehensive plan. Recommended options include clearing overgrowth and widening the shoulders, allowing for better separation of car and foot traffic, adding vegetation swales or pipes to manage water runoff, improving walking paths by using impervious material and reducing the speed limit. Because the streets in Southwest vary from paved streets with sidewalks to dirt roads with no walk paths, each street will be handled differently and the design based on residential needs. As I mentioned before, my street needs a lot of help, and I am confident that the Tyron Stevenson Plan will improve the walkability and control the rainwater, allowing me to have access to my neighborhood and eliminating the need of wet dry vacs after heavy rains. Thank you.
I'll introduce Trudy Raz Pringle.
Thank you. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland. And
just pull that microphone a little closer.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland. And when I walked in here, I looked at the historic pictures, and I saw, oh, my gosh, that's the house that my dad was born in, which I never knew existed here in the in the city hall. But he did spend some time in the city hall many years ago. So that was a nice welcome. Thank you. When I grew up, our area of Southwest Portland was still mostly Swiss dairy farming country. As children, we walked almost everywhere, through the fields, jumping over cow pies, or on paths which the older generations made. Also, there were lanes or unofficial roads going from one part of the farm to the other. Many other roads were already in existence. Nevada Court became a dedicated street in 1891, and Capitol Hill Road in 1918. Actually, my father, Werner Raz, deeded land for official roads, land from our farm. He wanted to make it easier to get around the farm during his lifetime and to provide for the generations to come. Before 1940, he deeded land for 21st Avenue. Stevens Creek, which is now Rasbach Crossing, and 19th Avenue. In 1952, the day before our Southwest area joined Portland, my dad deeded Caldew Street and 23rd Avenue to Multnomah County so that these right-of-ways would remain for the public use always. Yes, most of these official roads were in our cow fields, or at least near them. As a child, I knew that I had the right to walk on any public right-of-way. During those years, as even now, our southwest area was filled with fruit trees. Before the dairy farms, the area was an orchard. As children, we'd walk to Multnomah School from kindergarten until eighth grade, eating delicious fruit along the way. It was a paradise of eating. People knew us, and we felt like we belonged. We played together, and we worked together. Children, and sometimes their parents, too, picked crops for cash. Beans, filberts, berries, and so on. I remember one year when the strawberries came early and we had the choice of going to Multnomah School or picking, and probably that was the same choice all over Portland, I suspect. Foot travel was a given. Werner Raz, my father, was by nature a trailblazer and a visionary. In 1936, he was appointed postmaster of Multnomah, and perhaps because of that, he knew of every right-of-way there was or could be. Always he acted in the interest of the community, whether it was to pay back every creditor who had lost money in the old Multnomah Bank, and Walter Raz's cousin did this with him, and that's his house is where Habitat for Humanity is now, where those houses are, or in creating public streets and trails. Trail making was a lifelong pursuit. His grandfather was a road maker in the Swiss Alps, so maybe trail making and roads were second nature to him. In 1956, the day Wilson High School opened, he completed a trail in Nevada Court right away for high school students. Later, he extended that trail. That trail is now the Rasbach Crossing. My dad worked on that trail for 9 years. The neighbors didn't want the trail, even though it was on public land, and of course, Dad deeded that land anyway. The city of Portland was not ready for urban trails during those years. My father saw this trail as a safe and a beautiful shortcut to the city bus stop and to Reiki School. I think that time Reiki was called Wilson Park Grade School and Wilson High School. During this time, Don Bach heard my dad talk about his trail and about the existing network of right-of-ways. I think Don's here today. Dad explained that his trail could, by showing a map, that his trail could be extended from Wilson High School all the way to Gabriel Park by using all right-of-ways, and I have that all an official map showing that. When Don retired many years later, Dad just did that. Don became a trail maker. As long as Dad lived, he fought for trail making on unused streets. Yes, in 1984, the day he died, he was talking to a neighbor about building a trail on the 19th Avenue right-of-way, and that's finally going to be completed, thank goodness. Yeah, thanks to Denver and Naomi and others. This neighbor was afraid of people walking by his home because he has children. Yeah, and then that same day, Dad died. But anyway, so I hope he's here listening at this point that I'm in City Hall, right? Recently, this year, I attended two community workshops put on by Transportation and BES. We were asked how we would improve Southwest streets. I felt that many streets should remain unimproved. I do agree with you, though, with some of the graveled roads, that the streets should match the neighborhood and its rural character. One kind of street does not fit all. One street that I commented on was a dead-end street with little car traffic, but a lot of foot traffic. It was near a park. The street was a perfect unimproved street except for one flaw. One resident had fenced all the way to the street, preventing pedestrian traffic on the shoulder. I was shocked that he felt that he could do this because the fence was not his land, nor a lot of the land behind the fence. This encroachment needs to be removed. Right now, we live on a dead-end street that is a 30-foot right-of-way. Since only a few cars use it each day, we get a tremendous amount of pedestrian traffic. No street improvement is needed. Our unimproved street is ideal. Because there is little traffic, the gravel is not worn down. Also, we've made full use of the portion of the right-of-way on our side of the street. In that 15 feet, we've put in two benches and some tree stumps, plus flowers and vegetation, for people to enjoy and socialize. It's a very happy environment. The land is used for community purposes. Concerning the Tryon Streets Plan, I'm pleased that it takes into account the unique character of the Southwest neighborhoods. It addresses the many ways neighbors travel. The plan recommendations help to ensure that the right-of-ways will remain accessible to the public, and the plan offers safe routes for walkers. It also recommends that when improvements are made, the improvements match the historic and the natural settings of our neighbors, of our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marianne Fitzgerald is
just before you go on.
One more question.
I just wanted to comment, Trudy, when you and I talked after the Rasbach crossing opening,
told
me about your family deeding the land for what's now called Custer Park.
Right.
I want you to know that Commissioner Novick has initiated the process to discuss whether we should keep it that way.
So wow.
Go to the Multnomah Association and participate.
Yay. One thing about Custer Park is on the bottom, well, we owned until to Miles. I mean, that was part of our farm, but there were the where it's really swampy, we had a little pond there, where we would swim right on next to Capitol Road, But that's terrific. Thank you.
Yay.
Marianne, welcome.
Okay, good morning. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I'm here representing the Southwest Neighborhoods Coalition of 17 neighborhoods in Southwest Portland. Sweeney wants to express its very strong support for the Tryon-Stevens Creek Plan. And we want to particularly thank the excellent staff work of Denver and Naomi. I work with a lot of staff in both bureaus, and they did a fabulous job in putting this plan together, and it's a really, really good product. We especially appreciate them laying the foundation for improved coordination between the bureaus on these two issues that affect neighborhood livability, and probably streets and the environment are the two most passionate topics you could engage with anyone in Southwest Portland. We strongly support the recommendations to coordinate between bureaus to address both street and stormwater gaps in Southwest Portland. And yesterday, as I sat through the TSP work session, I noticed that nobody mentioned stormwater at all when we were discussing transportation. But for those of us on the ground, we know that the right-of-way has to handle both the water and the people. And, we have to make sure that we have room for everybody. And this plan really is a really good step in that direction. We know we commended the BES for doing the Stevens Stormwater Systems Plan about 2 years ago. It was a great landmark study that led to this study as well. But we also know that the other watersheds have watershed plans and not specifically stormwater plans. And I've observed over the years that some of the limits on what we can do in the transportation system are limited by how we manage the water that flows off those surfaces. So I wanted to especially thank the staff for committing to a proposed pilot Tryon Creek Headwaters Stormwater Systems Alternative Analysis that would help manage stormwater off Capitol Highway in between Multnomah and Taylor's Ferry and help it make it more feasible to actually get that project built. So thank you. We had a lot of discussions at Sweeney about connectivity and the difference between busy streets and neighborhood streets. We supported the recommendations to close the gaps in the Urban Trails Plan and in the Southwest Master Street Plan in the area. But we also recognize that busy streets tend to be flatter. As Denver said, they followed the ridge line so that you didn't have to go up and down, but you could go directly to access transit. That's where the transit lines are, to access the commercial areas, the schools, and the parks, as noted in the typology. But as many of you may know, the city has issued thousands and thousands of waivers of remonstrance, which did not require developers to develop any infrastructure on those streets. And again, with that yin and yang of local streets and busy streets, we can pretty much walk on the local streets with potholes and everything else. But the busy streets are dangerous. And so we really want to no longer allow the waivers of remonstrance on the busiest streets where we need the infrastructure the most to access our destinations. We also recognize the plan recommendations for widened shoulders as an interim solution. And I emphasize interim because there's a few of them near my house where traffic's going 40 miles an hour, zooming right by, cars are right behind you. It's a really scary place to walk on a widened shoulder. So the plan does include some criteria that we might apply before we really look at whether a widened shoulder is appropriate in that location. So I just wanted to kind of sum up a lot of what Liz said is that while the emphasis in the plan was on neighborhood streets, and we love the flexibility, we love the typologies, we think it really fits into what could apply throughout Southwest Portland. We also know that you get landlocked if the neighborhood streets are improved and you don't do the busy streets. And at one of the open houses where we did the ranking of where you want the improvements made, Capitol Highway and Taylor's Ferry Road were at the top of the list. So, you know, even though it's a neighborhood plan, everybody knows these are really key streets that need to be improved. So I just want to sum up by saying this is a landmark study. I was just pleased from the beginning when this got funded and really pleased with the direction that it went. And we just say, let's go for it. Let's implement this plan as quickly as we can. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all. Any questions? Thanks very much.
The formal presentation, okay. Mayor, just now right. Ever signed up.
Okay, thank you. So, Carla, do we have some folks signed up in addition to this invited?
Yes, we have two people signed up. Please come on up. David Murphy and John Gibbon.
Come on up.
Morning. Welcome.
Hey, guys, Jim. Anyway, I'm a local resident.
29,
yeah, David Murphy. Anyway, thank you guys for your time. The water issue, all the water, if you go onto Portland Maps with the address 2910 Southwest Miles, go to environmental and then go to sewage, we'll find that there's a right-of-way that BES owns that comes through there. So all the water from 29th Street and all the water that comes down Capitol and that whole area right there gets focused right into one spot. And then that sewer line cuts through the property. It's a combi storm drain sewer. My whole half of the yard has gotten wiped out, especially with this last event, but it's a reoccurring event because these storm drains will clog up. I've called the city and had Sol Carlson come out from BES, and sometime soon, hopefully sooner than soon, they scope this pipe because I have a feeling that the western red cedar trees are exactly right on top of these lines. I have a feeling that the roots have come in. I've also noticed lots of rats in the yard, and when I cleaned up the other day, there's lots of drowned rats out on the road. My garage completely flooded, whole side of the house. There's a huge pond. I got a bunch of pictures. There has been a huge crack all the way down the center of the garage. One of the stem walls is cracked. The side of the house has dropped. and there's probably about 7 cracks down the side of the house. And I've had a terra firma come out, and I haven't had a bid yet, but what's going to probably have to happen is the whole pad's going to come out in the garage. It's got to get rebar repoured. And this is a recurring situation because these particular drains will clog very easy. And on 29th Street, if you walk up the road, the water doesn't hit any of the storm drains, and some of the neighbors have diverted the water from the property onto the street where it's actually supposed to go directly into the drain. And so there's a bunch of issues just right in that spot. And my neighbor just down below me, his garage also flooded. So that's about it on that.
Wow. All right. Well, appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Obviously, yeah. The staff was taking notes. Sounds like an issue where we need some follow-up. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Much. You bet. John, welcome.
You'll be able to enjoy this before long. I'm off.
John Gibbon. Put your name in the record. And
John Gibbon.
Pull your microphone over just a little bit there. There you go.
From Southwest Portland, formerly of PERB. I'm back to take a valedictory laugh about
good.
A good project that got started with maybe a little help from me when I was on PERB. This is a great project. The combination of the two bureaus is absolutely essential. What you just heard from my neighbor is I've got to report something that you hear all over Southwest Portland. I know of it happening in my own neighborhood where we have responsibility for our own stormwater, at least. So it's not surprising that you hear these kind of problems happening, and at least this is a system that will this is an approach that will start addressing these collectively as a community on a scale that will appeal to the neighborhoods. Because if you've been out there, and I know Commissioner Fritz has been, you will find people in Southwest Portland, they're in love with their natural settings, and sometimes when you say, we need to improve this street, or we need to have some storm drainage improvement here, they'll say, oh, well, you're going to ruin the rural character of Southwest Portland. And I got to tell you, just coming back from 4 days in Druzy, I have a little bit of problem in focusing in on Southwest Portland as having a rural character. But I understand that that's a reality in dealing with people. And by creating a scalable set of proposed improvements that we can present to people, hopefully will overcome that. They'll say, oh, well, this isn't really so much. It isn't full street sidewalk, storm drainage, the whole thing, and more people will do a buy-in. And that's an important part in all these neighborhoods, and for Markham especially, because I'm going to turn to wear my Markham land use rep hat for a couple of minutes and say there's a couple of points in here that are truly important. One is this project that I think represents great entrepreneurship, government entrepreneurship, because I think what happened was Denver came to one of our Markham meetings, discovered that a Green Street project was proposed at the bottom of 19th, where it impacts Taylor's Ferry Road, and within the timeline of this project, we got some additional work proposed on 19th, and that's great. We'll see how this flies within the next month, and we can give you some feedback on how that works. The other thing I want to say, I understand the issue about busy streets. I recognize the people with Capitol Highway have a lot of problems, but what I will say is if you look at what happened in Markham, we said connect through the neighborhoods from Northeast Markham to 26th, and we stayed away from asking for improvements on Taylor's Ferry. So I understand Capitol Highway is a different issue, but, you know, some neighborhoods bought into playing this game.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your involvement. Thank you. Anyone else?
We have two more. Okay. Louis Glenn and Don Bach.
Morning. My name is Glenn Bridger. I live in Southwest Portland. I wish to take this time to commend the team of BES and PBOT for their cooperative effort to try and resolve the forever issue we've had in Southwest Portland. And there's not a one of you up there that doesn't know it isn't a forever issue. We need to be making progress. I don't want to leave my grandkids with a city that still hasn't solved their issues. We need to have places to walk. We need to be effective. We need to take care of the water and pedestrian issues together. Appreciate your attention to this matter.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Commissioners, Mayor. I'm Don Bach. I live in Hillsdale, and I've been a member of this group that's been working on this probably since before it started. But we're really pleased with the effort that you all authorized and urged, first of all, and second, for the team that was put together to work on it. They've done a fantastic job. The highlights, I specifically want to point out and express support for an important little part of this plan. It has a proposed master street plan change, making a connection from the Hillsdale Community Church, or whatever it is. I think it's the Portland Bible Church, to Southwest 25th, 26th along Texas, right away generally. And this is a really key connection because people living at the crossing of Stevens Creek, with the connection that would this would provide, will be much easier. It'll be easier for them to walk to Safeway, Fred Meyer, the parks, and Barber when we have a high capacity transit on, or more high capacity transit on Barber. Really key connection. On extended shoulders, while they're probably viewed as temporary, I'm sure they're going to be, not many of them will be replaced in my lifetime because, you know, they're the kind of investment it takes to build sidewalks versus extended shoulders or widened shoulders. It's like 6-to-1, and we can build a lot of improvements that federal studies have shown. We get 80% of the safety benefits from extended shoulders versus sidewalks. And, you know, so it's really, really important for a lot of people to be able to move more efficiently. I have one small amendment request that I'd like you to consider, and I sent this to you by email. My printer coughed, and I couldn't print out the copies for you. But basically, we currently are using Southwest Capitol Hill Road as part of the Urban Trail 6. It wasn't designated that way in the plan. It was an oversight for partially, and also because a park trail that has now been built we utilize part of that. And all I would ask is that we put Capitol Hill Road about 300 feet on the Urban Trails plan. Not important right now, but you never know when something it's got to be part of the plan or something. So it's being used as a trail. It would be part of the Hillsdale Lake Oswego regional trail. And, you know, we eventually will ask for a sidewalk or extended shoulder in that specific segment as a high priority. But anyway, that's the only request in that regard. Thank you very much. And again, this is a great project. I really appreciate the cooperation that's happened. And it's been fun to watch it proceed. Thank you. Oh, and the 19th thing that John was talking about. You know, really, really important. And we really appreciate BES and PBOT moving forward to really make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. So
Mayor, I think I would just propose that, as is our customary practice, Mr. Bach has put an issue into the record. It's now before us. We'll consider it as part of the testimony in support of the plan, and we will report back to you.
Okay. All right, good, because this is being adopted by resolution, so you can obviously always amend the maps later. So
he made his record, and we will appropriately respond.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I move the adoption of the report.
Okay, second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Novick?
Thank you very much to everybody who's been working on this, and it's quite extraordinary to say have this many people say this many good things about anything in the city. So really, really appreciate it. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, I see a lot of current and former staff from both bureaus in the room, and I greatly appreciate you being here. I think when you've worked on something like this, coming to see the vote is always very satisfying. Dan Bazzini, former BES, very much appreciate you being here. Also, my neighbor, Jeremy Grand, I thought you were very restrained to not hop up and talk about Capitol Highway. But that said, I appreciate hearing the history of the neighborhood from the Raz family, and I'm sure that Warner Raz is with us tonight, this morning. And also Dorothy Gage and Patty Lee would definitely want to be here, and I'm sure are watching over it, and also chagrined as I am that we don't go further south on Capitol and further west on Taylor's Ferry. So thank you very much to the staff. Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Novick, really exemplary exhibition of how bureaus actually do work together a lot, and to have something coming to council as a joint project and in a particularly difficult area of the city to figure things out, it's remarkable, and I congratulate everybody who's been involved, and thanks for all of the good work in a very short time. I mean, it seems like it's such a well-baked plan that it's probably that I thought it had been many years in the making. So to hear that it was kicked off at the Southwest Sunday Parkways last year is remarkable, and congratulations. Aye.
Well, first to Commissioner Novick's point, Steve, we've actually asked this